coming week, Mr. Shem, is the Yuetzet of the Satmar Rebbe. And what could you say about the Satmar Rav? You know, volumes and volumes have been written about his life, the different kufas of his life, pre-Holocaust, the years, the Shnoi Zam, the leader that he was in Mesiras Nefesh during that time, coming to America and rebuilding, time that he spent in Eretz Yisrael. He was the Mar Da'asa of the entire world, basically. And the Tzaddikim said about him that he was well beyond the dargas of the generation. It would have been a tzaddik in earlier dairas. So to talk about the Satmar Rav is on the one hand very difficult to share anything about him, especially from the fact that he was Megala Mamish Tefach and Mechase Harbi Tvachaim. And he's Madregas and he's Matsneya and he hid himself in so many different ways. A real Rebbe, a Rebbe from earlier diaries. So we're going to share now is just Mashu, a few of the stories in this Sefer which we always use is a Chernel of Racha, but there's so much to say about the Satmar Rav, things which I've heard, but say re'ei, get out there and to see what there is about the Satmar Rav. You'll be astounded by the godless in so many areas, in Torah and Tefillah and Chesed. It was Kula Bey. Of course, he was a Kaddish Merechem. He comes from a great, great line of Tzaddikim, going back to the Yismach Moshe and the Yitav Lev and his father, the Kedushas Yontif. Tremendous Yichus, Yachsan. Kaddish Merechem, the Tzaddikim all said that he was Loi Tam Tam Chet. One of the very unique features of the Satmar Rav was he was a gewaldig bal tzura. I never saw the Satmar Rav. I came into this world already when he had passed. But anybody who saw the Satmar Rav, they said about his face that it was mamish brilliant, shining. They said it had the face of a baby. Like, mamish shaloi tom tam chet. My Rebbe told me that when he would walk into shul Friday night, and everybody would gather, men and women and children. And when he would walk in, his face was literally, if the room was dark, his face would light up the room. And anybody who would see his face, people would cry. Everywhere, women were crying, men were crying, children were crying. He just walked into the room, people would cry. Just to see his face, people would cry. Of course, he was very well known for his drushes, which he would give by Rosh Hashanah time and in Shoivavim, the Shal Shuddas with the Bechias Mamisha. I never saw, but to hear from the tzaddikim who participated in these gatherings, it says that the kedusha was mamish palpable, the shechinat daisha was there, and it's hard to imagine that such a tzaddik lived in our times. I heard from, I'll share with you an eyewitness report. I mean, I wasn't the eyewitness, but I heard from the witness. It was at Kufa when I lived in Kew Garden Hills that I would give shir at the Young Israel. To like the senior kollel, and there was an alter yid there. He told me that when he was younger, his father took him, in the mid 1900s, whenever it was, to go to the Satmar Rav for Hashanah Rabbah. He had a gevaldik avoid on Hashanah Rabbah. It literally lasted the whole day. He was poiled so many yeshuas on that day, and also Simchas Torah. Tremendous avoid on Simchas Torah. I heard this from my Rebbe. But I saw it again here in the Sefer that those who came, they said that he held the Sefer Torah the entire time, and he would go around in circles and he would stop and he would make drushes and bechias and he said that over the course of the day on Simchas Torah, if you calculate all of his steps and all of his walking and running, he ran across the room, run. It was the entire day, didn't stop. He traveled 10 kilometers over the course of the day. And when they asked him, like, how do you do that, Rebbe? He said he had a bad foot, so it didn't make any sense. So he was very sharp, the Satmar Rav. He always had very quick, very sharp, and could be very funny. So he said, what do you mean? The Gemara says, Shmini Atzeres, Regel Bifnei Atzmai. You have another leg on Shmini Atzeres, Regel Bifnei Atzmai. When he was 10 years old, so his father, the Kedush Yontif, was present with the Arugas HaBoisim, the great Rebbe from Papa, or Papa comes from at least. And he asked the Ibugus Abaisim, who was a Paisik, you know, or Chalice and Chubis, if he would give a Bechina to his 10-year-old son, Rabbi Eilish. So he turned to the young boy and he said, so, what Gemara are you learning? He says, no, no, no. I don't want you to give him Bechina on Gemara. Give him Bechina and Shochan Aruch Hoshe Mishpat. He said, it's like the most difficult. So he gave him a Bechina on that, and afterwards he said, B'dayreinu lehemati, I didn't believe that in our door there could be such a godless from such a young child. So the Kedusha Siyantav said back to him, he says, you don't believe? He says, if you come and you see the way that he says Birchas HaTayra and the way that he sees Ava Rabba every day, you won't be surprised why he was like such Tayra. I didn't say that this Yid, he told me, and he was a modern Orthodox Yid, he said that I was young when I went to go see the Satmar Rav. He says, but I'll tell you this. He says, the Rav was running around and he was so busy, and he says, at one point I got close enough that I saw his face. He said to me, you know what his face looked like? He said, the face of God. That's what he said. He said that if you saw the face of the Satmar Rav, it would be impossible to deny the existence of God. He says, his face looked like the face of God. That's what he told me. He made a very big push that Bachim should get married early. And he's very involved in Shidduchim. He had a lot to say about it. So, the Panav Zharov of Kahaneman was also a very sharp person, very funny and very sharp. So he came to the Satmar Rav once and he said to him, he said to Satmar Rav, he says, why do you push so much that the Bacham should get married at young age? The Chazal say, Shmona Esrei L'Chuppah. He says, if you tell them Shmona Esrei L'Chuppah, then they're going to forget Yalav V'Yavai. Because you know, Shmona Esrei is Shmona Esrei, but if you rush Shmona Esrei, if you rush, then they'll forget Yalav V'Yavai. Yalav means that they won't be Bnei Aliyah because they won't have time to learn because they're getting married so early. So if you rush Shmona Esrei, then they're going to forget Yalav V'Yavai. So that's what he said to the Satmar Rav. So on the spot, the Satmar Rav said back to him, he says, but if you delay too long, so then you won't make kedusha. That's what he said.
Right.
So you won't make kedusha. He was very sharp. He was shomer on the kedusha. So he was shomer on the kedusha of the boys. And that's what he was concerned about. So he would travel a lot and go around, and he would be mizaris on the sinyan of getting married early. So he came to one town, and he says that the boys were like older, and not that they were learning in yeshiva or anything. So he said, the shtein gemara says there's machlekas amaraim. What should come first? Should you learn first and then get married, or should you get married first and then learn? He says, but nobody holds not to get married and to not learn. So Elamai, so why is the Olam here not doing either of them? Because they don't want to get involved in the machlokes. He was a very big fighter against Zionism, and it drowns out. You know, of course, it was Mechamas Hashem for him, but the tremendous Avos Yisrael which he had. He said that once. My Rebbe told me that one of the very great Zioni Rabbanim was very involved in an institution called Heichal Shlomo, I think was the name, that he had to make a chasna, he didn't have the funds, he flew in from Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't know where to go, so he met some Yidden, and they said, what do you mean, go to the Satmar Rav? Satmar Rav was involved in so many chasodim. So it's Tzedakas, I'll talk about that in a moment. So he came to the Satmar Rav, he told the Satmar Rav he has a chasna. So the Satmar Rav, he says, he He needed refuahs, actually. It wasn't chasna. He was sick. He needed refuahs. So the Sa'ar took care of everything. He said, it's on me. I'm going to take care of all the money. It's on me. And he found him the doctor, and he made sure that he had a place, accommodations, something like that. And months came by. He went back to the Sa'ar to tell him he's clean, and he's about to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Sa'ar said, oh, Baruch Hashem. So he said to the Sa'ar, he says, you know, I didn't tell the Rav, but like I'm a tzioni, and I feel like I should tell the Rav. Probably the Rav thinks, you know, had I told the Rav beforehand, you know, my associations, probably the Rav wouldn't have helped me out so much. So Samarov, he got very like a fiery about that, and whenever he used to have something was storming in his mind, so he used to get up and he would pace back and forth very quickly. You could see videos of the Samarov pacing back and forth, stroking, pacing. So he was saying to himself, back and forth. He's like, and this is what they think of me? People are starting to think of me like this now, that because what I have different opinions about things, that I shouldn't love and all Yidden. And he was so worked up about that. This is what they're saying about me. It bothered him so much that what? Just because you have different opinions, so I shouldn't help another Yid? He couldn't take the fact that they even bechayshed him of such a thing. Spoke about his tzedakas. Rabbi told me that that he had a very big avoda when it came to money. People would gather money from everywhere. He took a chrayis on so many things, and when the money would come in, so he was very careful about the monies. He said that every Erev Shabbos he would lock himself in his room for hours. He had his Rebbe Shinyanim with the money. So he would make different piles and he would do certain Inyanim with the money. He had a whole Avodah when it came to the money. And he had this money had to be for the Mizdis, and this money for the Aniyim, and this money for the Rabbanim. He supported many Talmid Chachamim. So every dollar had to be in its right place, and he had big Avodahs for hours. He was working with the money. So there was a certain Talmud Chacham, hidden Talmud Chacham, that he was supporting. And the Rebbetzin of the Talmud Chacham once came to the Satmar Rav, and she said, you know, we can't thank the Rav enough for what you do, that you give us the money. He said, the truth is that, you know, we really could use more money. And I know the Rav has more money because the Rav is giving this person this much, this one this much. So the Talmud Rav says, oh, so you want more money? He says, but that's from the other pile. He says, that pile, you don't want from that pile. From the pile which you get from, I can only give you this much. That's what he says. So he says, she starts getting involved in his inyanim. Like, he's like, you know, that money goes to there. You're in a much better place. You get the higher money. That money goes to those people, and, you know, I can't give you more from that money. Yeah, his inyanim, every person he gave to, he had mamish rebish inyanim when it came to it. Moshe Wolfson spent, you know, good time. He was neighbors, came out with Samuel. And he says that that the Satmar Rav had, you could see the real. Everything was behester by him. But he said that when he put on tefillin, there were two times that you saw Rebbe Shinyanim by him. Like he couldn't hold back. When he put on tefillin, he used to make many tenuos, like with his arms and his pashtas agashmi. It's like he was not in his body. His arms would flail and all different types of things. Hanachas tefillin. Also, when he ate fish on Friday night, fish by Friday night by him was a very big avoda, very very big avoda. his nephew Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, the Beirach Moshe, was buried next to him. Actually, he succeeded him as the rabbi, Rabbi in Satmar. And he said that I was once staying by my uncle, by him in the room next door. He said in the middle of the night when everybody was sleeping, so I heard in the room next door that the rabbi was up. And he opened up a Sefer Tehillim, and before he said Tehillim, he said like this. He's talking to himself. He says, Satmar Rav, Satmar Rav. He's talking to himself. He says, the whole world makes a big rash about the Satmar Rav, Satmar Rav. He says, and what's the truth though? What's the real truth? What's going to be with you, Satmar Rav? What's going to be with you, Satmar Rav? That's how he talked to himself. And then he says that all I heard him, he started to cry. He just started to say Tehillim, and he's just mamish bawling after he's saying those things. Kemat never slept. Kemat never ate, never slept. He had an inyan that he wouldn't eat until somebody said to him he should eat. until the Rebbetzin would say, Yoel, you should eat something. He wouldn't put a food bite into his mouth until somebody said you should eat something. And he, in over 24-hour period, he says the lights went off in the night just for one hour. And then after that, he was up already. Lights went back on after an hour. It's well known that before his Ptira, they asked him, Rebbe, when you go, who are we supposed to give kvittel to? Who are we going to give a kvittel to? And get brachas from? So he says, if you see a yid that he pulls up his arm to put on his tefillin, and there are numbers on his arm, and he's putting on tefillin, you can give him a kvittel. One of the great tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Asher Zelig Margolius. So he was very taken by the Salmarav. Everybody was taken by the Salmarav, but he would spend Shabbosim with him and follow him and so on. And the Salmarav would be mechaber him. And the Rebbe had an avoda that after benching on Friday night, he would pass that liver. And so once before that time, so Rosh Hashanah got up to leave, and so the Samarav said, "No, are you not feeling well?" He says, "No, I don't want to shtupnish. I don't want to get in the pushing with all the oilum who comes, to get from the liver." So the Samarav said, "Okay, don't worry, I'll take care of it." So he made sure that from that point on or that night, whatever it was, that he made sure that the Gaboyim would pass it on; it wouldn't come from him, and he would give first to Rosh Hashanah, so that there wouldn't be pushing. So the Samarav said to him. He says, "You see, Rav Asher," he says, "kolaborech min hakaved, hakaved roi devacharav." You run away from the kavod, kaved is liver. So he says, anybody who runs away from kavod, it comes after you. So you ran away from the liver came running after you. On the spot, and I'm so sharp. Rav Chaim Brim, he said that the years that he was in Eretz Yisrael, he would come to the Samarav on Purim. And he says the Samarav would drink, mamash ad l'yadam purim. He says you saw his levels of kedusha because the more that he drank, the more the Torahs got better, and the more the Avos Yisrael got bigger. And he says that it was mamish just to see the sight. I've heard this from other people. The Samarav, how in his avodam purim, and he would mamish drink, but he would get more lichtig and more brachas and more Torahs would come out and more Avos Yisrael. He says it was a sight to see. He says he left such a rush on him. The Gemara says, and Adam is nicker bekoisai. He says, you should see the how that the Samarav drank. Rebbe told me a story that the sharpness. He says, first of all, the Samarav didn't prepare. He didn't prepare the Torahs. He says, look in his Svarim, he has so many Svarim, Shalas, and Chuvas. He says, he's Mamish Goinish. He would ask 10, 15 Kashas. And he would bring in from sources from all over Shas and Rishonim and Achroinim and Kedashan on anything, and Nigla and Nister, everything. He hided a lot of the Nister, but. And he would make a whole pilpul and a whole drusha. It's unbelievable. He says he wouldn't prepare the Torahs. He wouldn't prepare. They would come to him in, right before the Shalashuddas, and he would say the drushas. So, was a yid, came to him on Purim, and the Rebbe was drunk, he was drunk. Too, and he said he didn't believe that the Rebbe didn't prepare the Torah. It's impossible. Such goyness was not shaykh. So he said to the Rebbe, he said to him, he doesn't believe him, and he said, I want to ask you a kasha on a medrash. And he made up the medrash. He says, this medrash plia. The medrash says, why do we clap ashabnu, baganu, gazanu, dibanu, daifi? Because the tzachadash be'achav. That's what he told the Samarav. The Samarav says there's no such medrash. He says, Rabbi said, you couldn't chap him on anything. Especially medrash. He said he knew every single medrash. In fact, the Rebbe said that there was once a certain Talmud Chacham was listening to the drasha, also a Goyin, and the Samarav quoted a medrash. The Goyin came over to him after and he says, no such medrash exists. That's what he said. Samarav says, really? He says, he pulled out a Yerushalmi. One of the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi quotes the Medrash. It's not written in Medrash anywhere. But one of the Mefarshim quotes the Medrash. He says, you couldn't chap him on anything. So this he had made up this Medrash in the Samarav. Samarav said, it was on Purim too. He says, no such Medrash exists. But I'll tell you pshat in the Medrash anyways. This is what he said. He said, but this isn't how sharp he was. He was making fun of him. You know, this is coming through also. He made fun of him in a very sharp way. He said that Rabbi Huda noisim hem simanim. He says, why is it necessary? He says, is it not easy to follow Dam Svadei Akinim Arav? Why? Because if you follow Rabbi Yehuda, so you don't know whether there's 10 Makos or 11 Makos. Because at the end, it says Makas Bechairis. It doesn't say Bechairis, it's Makas Bechairis. So he says that Rabbi Yehuda, he gave Simanim because he saw that when the Oilim was doing Dam Svadei Akinim Arav, so they were doing Makas, they were doing 11 and not 10. So he had to do the tzachadash bechav to tell you that this 10 is not 11. That's pshat. Ashamnu baganu gazanu divanu daifu. He says, Damaratim, they think that when you get ashamnu baganu gazanu divanu daifu, they're going to get a cop twice in divanu daifu. So he looked at the simanim and he said, even the simanim had to rectify the issue. That's what the Talmud Rav said. On the spot. He touched the medrash which didn't exist. So then he knew that he didn't prepare the Torah, obviously. During the years of the war, so he had tremendous mesirah nefesh for his beard. He says everybody, they say he was the only person who in the Holocaust who didn't shave his beard. There was nobody else. Even the Belzerov shaved his beard. The Samarov did not shave his beard, and they made he risked his life many times, and they would hide him so they shouldn't see him. He didn't shave his beard the entire time. He says at one point there was a Nazi machshama. He came over to him. He said to him, you shave this beard or you're going to be a dead man tomorrow. Samarov, they begged him. He said, Rebbe, save your life, don't do it. He said, no, I'm not. Came back the next day, saw the Samarov. He grabbed him by the beard and he said, this is not off by tomorrow, you're a dead man. Samarov said, no. He says, the day tomorrow, the guy just did not show up. We don't know what happened to him. Did not show up. But he wasn't going to shave it. He's a Namish. One last story. The Rabbi told me this as well. There's so many stories in the Samara. He said that the Beis Yisrael, we spoke about the Beis Yisrael, I believe. The Rabbi from Ger, so he was like a general for his chassida. And he says that once he wanted to visit the Samara. And when he came to the Sat Merav, so, you know, the chassidim always love to come and to hear, you know, the interactions between the rabbis, and mostly they come in and they hear them back and forth. So the Beis Yisrael, when he came to the doorstep of the private room of the Sat Merav, so he turned around to his chassidim and he says, nobody should cross this line. He says, I'm going in, nobody's allowed to come with me. Came in, spoke to the Sat Merav, whatever they spoke about. At the end, the Samarov asked the Beis Yisrael if there's anything which he could do for him. So he said, yes, I would like to have this sugar cube on the table. Sugar cube on the table. So it was the sugar cube which the Samarov used. He would break it in half and put only half of it into his coffee. But the other half was there. So he says, if you want sugar cubes, I'll give you whole ones. I have plenty. Why do you need? He says, no, I have an onion. I need this one. I need this half sugar cube. Okay, half one, take it. So the Beis Yisrael later he said, what was my inyan? He says, I have somebody for over 10 years couldn't have a child. And he says, and he says I knew that I saw the shiraim of the Sat Merav. He says I knew from this shiraim that I would have a Yeshua for this guy. So he said, that's what I had an inyan for. He says he gave it the shiraim to that chassid and he had a Yeshua. That's what I needed. That's what I need from the Sat Merav. I needed his chatzi sugar cube. That's what he came for. The chatzi sugar cube. His chassid had a Yeshua from half a sugar cube from the Sat Merav. It's only mixas of the godless of the Sat Merav.
Where is he buried?
He's buried not far away. He's buried in Monroe. In Kiryas Yoyal. I had the schus to be there a couple times. Okay.
Stay touch.
So I can only talk to you, Solomon.